So I got a question for you. How do you measure success? By your bank account? By your title? Do you judge it? Do you measure success by degrees on your wall? I know people, that seems to be what they do. They just go to school to have pieces of paper on their wall. I know one particular person who went and got a certificate of ordination so that they could solemnize a marriage. And a family member of theirs called him a pastor. I said, don't you dare ever call that person a pastor. I said, because this is an entirely different world. He went and got a little piece of paper from the state that said, you can marry somebody. I said, but his life would disqualify him. And God never called him. I think I do have one document. I have two documents on my wall. One is my certificate of ordination, and the other is my honorable discharge. That's it. Is it by your assets? How much ground do you own? How many houses do you own? How many vacation homes do you got? Is it by how well known you are by people? Are you famous? Are you infamous? There's a little bit of a difference. Usually if you throw the word in front of famous, it means you're a bad guy. But modern Christianity has adopted a doctrine that if you aren't wearing the best clothes or driving the best cars, you are not successful. I have actually heard preachers share that. We forget in the end of our life, massive bank accounts and assets all go away. Then we are left with what we have done and what we have said. See, that's what gets left behind. That's honestly the true measure of our success. We spend an insane amount of time trying to build fortunes when Jesus himself told us not to be as the Gentiles. Matthew 6, 25. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor what about your body, what you will put on it. Is not life more than food, the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are they not of more value? Let me tell you right now, I'm going to try to get this through as politely as I can, and I hope people are watching online. Animals do not have the same value as you. Well, I just don't believe it. Well, you better get over it and read the Word of God, because God required sacrificial animals, and they weren't enough. He never required a human sacrifice. But Jesus was not just human. He was also God. And that was the only blood that could cover what was done. People are more valuable than animals. Doesn't mean we go mistreat animals. I eat animals, by the way. Most of us in here eat animals. If you don't, that's your life. Do what you want. If you haven't noticed, all I had was a peanut cluster bar for breakfast. So I got to get off the food. Are you not more value? Which of you can worry and can add one cubit to your stature? It doesn't work. I'll tell you that right now. Didn't work. As a matter of fact, I lost half a cubit. So why do you worry about clothing? Why are we worried about, oh, is it good enough for church? You know what? That's great. You want to wear a suit? You wear that suit, brother. I wear my suit when I want to, not because I have to. I personally do believe in individuality. I love to look around here and see you all being who God created you to be. In Marine Corps, nobody got to be an individual with your uniform. Your uniform looked the same as hers. The only difference was our name tapes. And most of us in my era, we did not want those because we usually did stupid things and we definitely didn't need our name being known. I don't know, some guy in a green camouflage outfit. There's 30,000 of them. Which one? I don't know. The one with the high haircut. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, neither toil nor spin. As I'm sitting there on the porch this morning looking at our beautiful flowers, we're the ones that take care of them. We're the ones that put them there. She's the one that waters them. I gave her that because I don't think I've watered them yet this year. She's the one who puts, but they just keep doing it because that's the way God made them. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Why? Because what we do is we sit back and we just see the beauty of the thing. See, you're sitting, these are silk, obviously. But until you look at the detail, you may look at that little brown house sparrow and say, oh, that is just an ugly little brown bird. Look at it up close. I despise starlings. They are my least favorite bird on this planet, next to Canadian geese. But the starling feathers, when you see them up close, they are multicolored. They're not just black. They have a plethora of coloring through them. They really are beautiful. Dirty, but they're beautiful. God put detail into each and everything. He put detail into Adam and Eve. I can't imagine what a glorified body really looks like. But I'm looking forward to it. I'll tell you that right now. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Jesus is warning us about trying to get our minds working on how are we going to get this? How are we going to get this? How am I going to get a new car? Well, you know, Lord, I don't just want a car. I want a Bentley. They're nice. They got recliners in the back seats. That's how nice they are. They also cost around $350,000 and up. That's $350,000. They get 8 miles to the gallon, if you're ever curious. They weigh twice of what my truck does. But Lord, I want a Bentley. I deserve a Bentley. I'm a child of the King. Can you pay for the gas for one trip? Can you pay for the tires? Well, no, you're just going to have to bless me, Lord. Then you're going to drive your Honda. Enjoy it. It will get you there just the same. But I have heard preachers. I know of one preacher who has to be in a Mercedes to be picked up. No. Well, I got to be here. I got to be there. I don't care. Jesus rode on an ass. Yes, I use that word. Because that's what my Bible says. Well, yeah, but don't you know, brother, that was like the Mercedes of this time. No, it wasn't. It wasn't even broke in yet. It was wild. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Okay, eating and drinking, I mean, if food's getting a little scarce, water's a little scarce, I get it. But what am I going to wear? I don't have a thing to wear to church. Do you got a pair of pants? You got a shirt? Put them on. You know, I was just sitting back here, and I was looking, and I was like, looked over at Joe, and I said, he got flip-flops on. Do you know how many people, brother, would be offended? offended that you dare to wear flip-flops to church. Yet they forget that John the Baptist, when referencing Jesus, he said, there's one who's coming whose sandals I'm not even worthy to unlace. Jesus had his toes exposed. Walked around with dirty feet. You need to understand, when Jesus sat down with those disciples to wash their feet, from about probably the middle of their calf down was a little different brown. It was darker because of the dirt. Just from yesterday, I looked at my shoes. I'd walked up to a grassy area where they had some displays at, and the grass is brown. It's dry. It's hot up there. And I looked at my shoes last night. I was like, man, they're dirty. And all I did was walked up here to that little grassy area. Into the parking area. But that wasn't walking like Jesus and the disciples did. They didn't have paved roads. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Not that we haven't, we are still Gentile by whatever. We're not Jews. We aren't the replacement Jews. We are just the children of God now. But we're still called Gentiles, infidels, whatever. Why is it the body of Christ suddenly decided to grab hold of what we need to be? We need to be successful. I'm not saying you can't be successful. I praise God we do have Christian leaders in industry. For the Kathys who stand on Sunday is off. You're not working. We're not serving your chicken. Not happening. Billionaires. The Greens who won't sell you a box of crayons from their hobby store. Why? Because Sunday is the day you go to church. Spend it with your family if you don't go to church. But we will not be open. So Hobby Lobby is not open. There are many, many Christian leaders who stand their ground. We will not. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Live today. Don't be worrying about tomorrow. You know, after last week, it was a little, had to grab a couple different gears, and every time I went to grab a tool and found out it was missing, I found several more. I'm like, I didn't even know that was missing. What? Lord. All right. I'm good. I'm good, Lord. I changed all the locks, put up a camera, put sensors with lights. Some things I should have done a long time ago. But God told me, he said, don't worry about it. And I'm not. I ain't worrying about it. I wrote him a nice little note, put it on my door. I said, thank you for coming and visiting. If you were invited, great. This is now paraphrased. But if you were not, please note that the sensors have already alerted me to your presence and 911 has been called. The preacher put up the sensors and the camera and the lights for your safety. The Marine is closing in on you. May God spare your soul. Hey, you got to scare him a little. I'm like, which by the way, I get woke up every morning at 4:45. Because my Ring doorbell, the first morning it went off, man, I jumped up out of bed. Trying to look out the other door, I'm like, I can't. She even told me, it's just Justin. Well, then the one morning, it went off. I'm like, the second time, I'm like, okay, I'm getting used to this. So the second time I go over there, heard it go off. I'm like, It looks too dark to be dubbed for Justin. And I look out the door. I don't see Justin. Justin's not out of his truck. I opened the door, you know, as fearsome as I could get myself. Just crawled out of bed. Hey! Half a heartbeat later, I seen Justin's light come on in his truck. He jumps in the truck, takes off. I asked him later, I said, did you hear me? He says, yeah. I had no idea who it was, and I thought maybe it was somebody coming back. I said, all right, we'll dial it down. I'm not worried about that stuff. All it can be replaced. But here's the thing. Seek first the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God isn't all my tools. It isn't my boat. It isn't my truck. It isn't my house. It's not driving a fancy new car or living in five different homes. Having $10 million in the bank account, sitting there doing absolutely nothing when my neighbor is freezing. See, we seem to forget that we will be held accountable for things. Things that we know about. Well, God, I never saw you cold, Lord. He said, what about your neighbor who didn't have money for fuel? You could have done something. You knew about it. I sent somebody to you. See, it's God's righteousness. Well, Lord, I wasn't giving your money to the heathen. He says, why not? I gave my son. The kingdom of God is not one that is witnessed by our success or failure. I don't care if I ever have a 1,000-member church. I shared with you the other day that I said after I saw something, the Holy Spirit revealed something to me, that churches in this county, when they hit a certain size, they get hit. The church I prayed for this morning hit that size. Oh, you're superstitious. No, I recognize a pattern. It's spiritual warfare. It's something we were created to fight against, folks. We were just talking this morning, Joe and I and Johnny, we were talking about his dad was on Okinawa and Iwo Jima. He said the Marines would go in first and then the Army would come in and they'd mop up. See, the Army is an occupying force. The Marines aren't. We go in, we kick butt, and we leave. That's our job. The Army comes in because they are significantly more equipped and they set up. They clean up whatever might be left, but they are set there to occupy. Our job as this body is to locate, close with, and destroy the enemy. We're not an occupying force. But I'm going to tell you right now, the demonic spirits in this county, God showed me years ago, before he even called me to be a pastor, showed me that there is a religious spiritual force in this county. And it goes after churches. It goes after the leaders. As a matter of fact, God gave it to me in a dream that when I was dreaming, Bob and Karen were in the dream, Angela was there, and another couple were there. It was actually our old pastors at the time. And I walked up to it. We all six of us walked up to a building, and we're standing there, and there's demons hanging out the windows. And one of them looked right at me, and he said, don't you come in. We know who you are. Well, you know, I was 29 at that particular time, and I said, oh, yeah? And I went, grabbed the door, and I went in. Don't know whatever happened. didn't know what the building was. I'm like, Lord, there ain't a building like this in Mount Gilead. Until one day when we were looking for a place, because we had to get it out of our dining room. We were looking for a room to rent, and I went to a building, and I walked up to the door, and I grabbed the door, and I looked up. I was at that building. It was relatively new. I was at that building. I went in to ask him. I said, I understand you guys have a room for rent. Oh, we don't rent it to churches. Do you want to know 3 months later who they rented it to? A religious church. I said, that's okay. That's okay. I said, Lord, I need guidance. He led us down a path that led us right to here. I don't have to ask anybody if I can have service. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I don't need to have a big building. We've got a pretty good big, nice sized building here. Well, it's not real tall, but do you realize we're nearly 6,000 square feet? This section right here alone is over 2,800. That's God. We've got power to spare out there. I mean, man, there are factories that would love to have what we've got. Because this was a factory. Romans 14:17. There we are. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Understand something. First off, Paul was talking to the Romans, and he's explaining to them about their freedom. That it's not about drinking wine or not drinking wine. It's not about eating pork or not eating pork, is basically what he was saying. But it's about righteousness. These are my definitions. Living right before God. If God tells you to give the guy sitting on this corner of the street $10, then you give him $10 because God said to do it. Not because, well, he bum needs to go get a job. You know, maybe that guy just lost everything he ever held valuable, to include his family. It's not up to you to determine if they're worthy of your $10. It's up to you to obey what God said. If God said to go fill your neighbor's tank with propane, bless God, you had better do it, because I got a feeling your furnace is on the line. Oh, don't think that God didn't take it out. Your disobedience put you there. When you disobey God, there is repercussions. I had to go buy a new tire. I had one in my shop. It wasn't as pretty, but I had it in my shop. I then had to try to jack up that stupid trailer in Menards parking lot. The new tire was a lot more inflated than the... But okay, it is what it is. I told the Lord, I said, I promise, Lord, I will. I know you care about me every day. I will try. So righteousness is right living before God. Peace is not having an internal war going on inside your head. That's where you lose your peace. Oh, brother, I don't know about all this stuff going on. You know, I just recently watched a short clip about it was a credible threat. It happened July 16th, 2025. Just a little over a month ago. It happened to the USS Gerald R. Ford, which is the newest aircraft carrier we have. Russia pinged it. They locked onto it with radar for missiles. They were sneaking up on us with a sub. This is Russia. Putin's a snake in the grass, if y'all. We got to control him. Whatever we can get going, we can get going. But I'm going to tell you right now, he's a snake in the grass. By the way, that corner I was watching the F-16 in, I called it the KGB corner. Everybody around me was speaking Russian. Like Angela said, it's good for them to see our firepower. And by the way, that one's still flying, but they're retiring those. If you want to see what we got now, it's on the other side. That's what you're allowed to see. But anyhow, not having that internal war. You didn't even know about it. I didn't know about that. And it became, it didn't take very long for Russia to back down. Because what they didn't know is we already knew they were there. That aircraft carrier has such an advanced radar system. It goes out 300 miles. It knew that the sub was there. The problem is the sub didn't know it was being tailed for 9 days. It had one of our nuclear subs behind him. They launched aircraft. Well, we launched a few aircraft too. Want to guess what we launched? This is what I found was awesome. We have a radar system, folks, that when they push the button, it sends up ghost images. They don't know what's real and what's not. We sent up 48 aircraft. They had 200 on their radar. They didn't know which ones were real. And then our aircraft disappeared. They went stealth. And it shows up like a bird. But our peace wasn't lost, was it? We didn't even know about it. Is your peace lost now? Absolutely not. I praise God that we spent all those billions of dollars. Because people hate us, because we have joy. Our peace is not wrapped up in, we're going to war. I pray it never comes to these shores. Joy is a state of being content, happy, blessed, regardless of the situation. Because life comes at us in ways that can cause distress. Yeah, my whole shop getting broke into. It kind of took a little bit of my thunder, replaced it with a little bit of anger. A little bit of my peace was shaken. But understand something, folks. That's absolutely fine. I know so many people, praise Jesus. Da, 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 and then they go home and in their own private, they lie through their stinking doggone teeth. Oh, brother, hallelujah, praise God. I'm telling you, I went home and I wanted them hurt. I wanted to break fingers. We discussed how the Muslims, the Arab world deals with it. If you see a guy without a hand, he's a thief. That's where I was at. I don't want to kill him. I just want to hurt him. Just go get a job. I worked hard for all of this. Yeah, I'm just going to bless God. I had to turn it over to Jesus, and it was hard. I had that little internal war going on. By finding your joy in God is, and what God is doing in our lives is the key to maintaining the peace in our life. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean you cannot have a moment of distress. Just don't remain there. Amen. I'm not there anymore. I went through it. I got out of it. Now, we all want to leave our family something. I've told my boys, I said, I'm collecting a few things. I have no intentions of getting rid of them. I said, so when I'm gone, these are yours. These belong to the three of you. We even have a pecking order on the house. Because at one time, all three of them wanted it. I said, well, here's the pecking order. But you will owe your brothers their share. But if all we ever did was work to amass finances and ignore the ones who are closest to us, we have erred. Proverbs 13:22 says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. This is a scripture every, oh, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Understand a little something here, folks. If that's what you're claiming, and you're not following God, you're not righteous. There's two classifications, sinner and righteous. Sinners disobey. I sinned Friday. I disobeyed the Holy Spirit by not putting a stupid spare tire in my truck. All because of laziness and excitement. I was so excited. So excited, even when I grabbed hold of the boat to climb up over it in the parking lot, my hand slipped off and about ate the windshield. Guy over there says, oh, he says, I'm getting too old to do that. And I'm thinking, dude, I think I'm older than you. I ain't gonna lie, it hurt a little bit. Especially seeing how I was straddled the gunwale. Yeah, it'll hit you in a minute. Because it did me. A good man, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. You want to leave your children something you don't have? I mean, if we can leave them some finances or something, that's great. So far, my grandparents have all passed away. They didn't leave diddly squat. The one did, but yeah, it's gone. But here's the thing, I want to leave my children, even if I can't leave them my home, even if I can't leave them what I have stored away for them. I want to leave them a good name. My good name. I want people to say, you know what? I knew your dad. He was an okay guy. He stopped and helped me. I want to get to heaven and be standing there. And people come up and say, you don't remember me, but you gave me $10. And you prayed for me. That changed my life. See, but we're worried about leaving our children millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. Then we get upset with these movie stars and stuff that don't leave their children a dime. That's just so wrong. That's what we look at them. I'm trying to think of which ones it was, but there's been a couple. Curtis. What was his name? No. Yeah, Clint Eastwood's got his children locked out too. Tony Curtis, yeah. Jamie Lee Curtis's dad. Didn't leave her a dime. He said, you know why? I want my children to know what it's like to work. If I give them millions and millions of dollars, they're not going to do anything but spend it. Be stupid. End up on TMZ or next viral video. But what if we can bless our children with money? Don't get me wrong. I plan on leaving them something. I'm going to live between now and then. Like, hey, Dad's not driving a 1974 Chevy. Nothing personal. I think they're cool. But not as cool as mine. I'm going to drive something I don't have to work on every other weekend. But if that's what we're doing, if that's all we're trying to work for, so I can just leave it to my kids, you know, that's not the way to go. I want you to live. I've had the opportunity to do funerals for people who did not place their family as a priority, and the family that was there never really knew the deceased because they were always working or placing others in higher priority. That does not mean that on occasion we may not have to give up time for others, but our family has to know that we place them in high place of priority. Their opinion is honestly the only one that we should care about. While I love you, if my family doesn't have a good opinion of me, your opinion means diddly squat. but Pastor, Jesus left the 99. He went to save the one. Yeah, and he came back. Well, brother, you know, notice I didn't bring up the scripture that says, what does it gain a man to lose the whole world, to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The Holy Spirit showed me a little enlightenment into that. What good does it do me to gather all of you and build you up straight and strong and my own family goes to hell? Because I wasn't Jesus to them. I was this man that placed a priority with everybody else. See, you do not rank at the top of my priority. I love you. I would die for you. But there's God. There's her. She comes before all of you. There's my children and my grandchildren. They're all above you. Now, that does not mean, and it's had to happen from time to time, that I had to go spend some time with somebody. Well, this is my, I know people, I'm not ever spending my personal time with other people. I've had to do it from time to time. Why? Because this stuff doesn't always happen. That's why I quit answering my phone on Mondays. It's like, that's supposed to be a time we're trying to get our heads screwed back together, because come actually about Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and we're going on vacation next week. I'm not going to be here. So I'm going to stir the septic tank up and leave it to Joe. Yeah, Phil gets to pray. Joe's going to handle the... But you see, if we do not prioritize things properly, what good did it do me to preach? And I tell you this because I have read books on preachers who did that exact thing. Their kids never knew them because they were always out. Oh, but I must be about my father's business. Yeah, okay. I get all that. God gave you a family. Let's get things squared away. Yeah, Jesus didn't have kids. Paul didn't have kids. That's why they both said, it's better that you didn't marry. Because now you can just go. The Marine Corps taught that we had one saying. It was hilarious. If the Marine Corps wanted you to have a wife, we'd have issued you one. Because at least in the Marine Corps, it was over 50%, this divorce rate. Because about every 6 months, there's another float going out. And there's got to be more Marines that's got to go on that for another 6 months. It's not an option. But that's the priority. You get a family, you got to be later on. You got to be able to financially support them, according to the Marine Corps. What is the measure of your success? It's what God thinks about you. Whether when you cross over and you're standing before him, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Faithful. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do it. He said, I didn't ask you if you could do it. Has God ever asked you to do something you couldn't do? Hopefully. It means he's got some trust in you. That means he's testing you. Me, I have no problem trusting him to do the crazy things. That I just get lazy about doing the stupid things. I'm putting a spare tire in the bed. But he said, there's Menards. It's just going to cost you. Do not let the world creep into the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not about money. It's not about you being healed. I'm sorry. So many people, I believe in God's healing. I have seen people healed. I know people who had cancer and they lived because the cancer would be gone. I have seen life come back up. Do you remember, Miss Brenda, the guy that was, we gonna forget that one. And the old dude, he's sitting right about where Caleb's at, and the chairs were a little different. Guy's sitting there, and he just kind of slumped over. Brenda and I got over, and she's like, he ain't got a pulse, and he's cold. She starts emergency procedure, and I'm standing there praying in the spirit. He's laying there, he opens his eyes. Don't tell me it's not real. The dude had no pulse and he was ice cold. Does that mean that we don't ever call 911 then? No, absolutely not. We called 911 for him. We called 911 for you. I think we even called for Gloria once. And if I ever, I expect one of you to be praying first. You jump on my chest. just don't let these guys over here. Yeah. Too many volunteers. You still like me, right, Caleb? Okay. You don't love me the way they love me. There's a whole row of guys I'm sitting here looking at. I will be back. But understand something, folks. Faith is not using what God put in your right there in front of you. I was going to have a flat tire either way. The Holy Spirit was just showing me. And in the end, he said, well, I let you get to here. You only have about a mile and a half to have to drive on a flat tire. Right after I spoke to a guy that said, do you know why I like tandem axle trailers? Because if you lose one tire on the side, you've got another one and you can keep going for a little bit. So if you're over there on 95, past 98, and you see all these little black pieces of tire, those were mine. May it remind you to listen to the Holy Spirit. But don't let the gospel of Jesus Christ be perverted by, well, we need to amass millions and millions of dollars. Listen, because I'm a pastor, I get some of the stupidest things, lists. The 10 wealthiest preachers in the world. There are 2 billionaires on there. Now, I know one is actually a businessman. So, yeah, don't go. He just happens to be a pastor now. They even had George Foreman on there. He was a boxer and businessman first. And then he became ordained and preached. But what happens when all we're doing is amassing wealth? Now, I'm not saying we practice this, but we don't worry too much about it. But a man of God that we respect, Dr. Wayne Sieg Williams, he's in Australia now. But he told us, he shared with us, he said, my ministry, by midnight, 12:31, on the 31st of December, by midnight, our bank accounts are zero. He said, we start over. We give it all away. That man is leading revivals in some of the weirdest places out there. He's baptizing people, leading people to Jesus Christ in Australia. And he's the one who laid hands on us and prayed over us. We were a big baptism in the church. And we stood there and he came up and he said, you're going to preach as others have not preached. I don't even think he even made it to us. But that's how he said, I'm going to let the Holy Spirit knock you down. And folks, I had no idea what he was talking about. Well, I can tell you, we live our life. We share with you. I've heard so many preachers, don't tell what you're going through. I want you to understand, I was angry. I was very angry. But God helped me through it. We look at so many of these preachers, well, they did never experience. Oh, yeah, they do. I can only imagine how Dr. Mark Barclay, his family felt when they came out. And their 4-year-old granddaughter's at the bottom of the pool. She had fallen in, didn't know how to swim, and nobody knew she was out there. And they all came out, and she's at the bottom. The son jumped in, gets her out. Well, I can promise you this, they're people of faith. So they began to pray in the spirit right then and there. And they got out, and I can promise you the first thing they started doing was CPR. That little girl's alive today. Now, if any of those group ever said that fear never came into them, they lie. Because I know what we fought. The devil was always there. And because we had people praying for us and for him, we were able to stand. And that is why it is vitally important to each and every one of us. If God brings somebody to your mind, it doesn't matter why. Just start praying in the spirit for them. Lord God, set your angels round about them. Lead them, guide them, give them wisdom, Lord God. That's the measure of your success. Is when you stand before your Creator and he says, well done. Don't care what anybody else ever has to say about me. I don't care. He could have built a bigger church. I don't care to build a bigger church. Exactly. If all I'm building are people that don't know how to walk out those doors and be Jesus to the world, then I have failed. Well, you could have had more Holy Ghost services. The Holy Ghost is here today. Just because you're not rolling on the floor. My goodness, the praise. We burst through that gate. We plow the ground. And we release the Holy Spirit. We pray every Sunday morning we come in here on our way in. We bind spirits that seek to draw attention to themselves and not to God. We release God's joy into everybody's lives and for your eyes and your hearts to be open to hear and receive the word of God. And if you don't, it's not my fault. And that's where I got years ago. I think it was actually you. I shared with somebody once said, I'm just not getting anything anymore. And you looked at me and said, how on earth are they not getting anything? Well, the person left and they divorced and their life went to crap. Because they didn't get to, woo! I'm trying to tell you there's more to the Holy Spirit than the woos. The Holy Spirit's the one that's with you in the valley of the shadow of death. I'm not going to fear. You're going to get those tingles. And the hair's going to stand up on the back of your neck. But your discipline to stand is your resolve through the Holy Spirit. And on that, stand. As Paul said, and having done all to stand, stand. But we will bless you guys. We're going to have a good time. We're going to go to Norfolk to see Jesse. He's getting to be a short timer. I forget how many days he said. Oh, he was at 280 a month ago. He's probably in the 260s right now. He's counting down, and he's got it by the hour. I'm like, boy, the countdown calendars today are so much more. I had a Garfield who was doing something inappropriate. And you just kept calling him in 365 days. Then I had one that was a jet airplane, a 747, taken off the island of Okinawa. He collared in each little day. Jesse's got it on his phone. He's counting down. But understand something, folks. We're going to love you. We're going to be in church. We're going to go to church with Jesse. Not going to hang around at home. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to go get some, have a snack. I want you next week to absorb everything the Holy Spirit brings through Joe and through Phil. I want the Holy Spirit to flow through the praise and worship. And he will. And I want that love stirred. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, that our measure of success is not gained, is not marked by our bank accounts. It's not marked by anything that people can conjure up. But Lord, whether or not we have obeyed to do for others as you've said to do. Whether we're to preach, whether we're to take them food, whether we're to pray for them, whether we're just to hug them. Lord God, may we all be more sensitive to that. Lord, I thank you that even times I'll throw myself under this bus, that when I've disobeyed you, you never ran away. You just said, no, now we got to do this a different way. It would have been a lot easier if you'd listened, but we got to do it this way. So, Father, I pray now for all of us that our hearts be more sensitive to your leading and that we listen and obey right then and there instead of changing a flat tire in a parking lot after having to go buy it. Lord, I thank you for your people. I bless them, Lord God. I thank you, Father, that you're moving in their lives for those with things at the fair, Lord. I pray that you be with them. Father, we pray for all the people that will be showing, all the displays and everybody down there this week, Lord God, that your protection be over that. And Father, bless your people now with righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. And joy in the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen.